Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And we're going to start off the show today with a big thank you to all our listeners for taking the time to give our podcast a rating on your preferred listening platform.
Yes, each rating and review that you give is so important to give us more visibility within Leafs Nation and in the NHL podcast world. So if you haven't had the time to give us a rating or review yet, you can always do this on Apple Podcasts, or if you are an Android user on Podcast Addict. Listeners can also give a review, and you always can DM us on social media as well, because we love to hear from our listeners and get your feedback on the show.
Thank you so much for that. We love to hear from you. Now, on to our Leafs. So after last night's game, we're coming at you on Monday after this Canucks game from Sunday night. I'm starting to believe that we're cursed, basically. I just don't understand why we're always the team. The Leafs just always seem to be the team that play an opponent that's going through some sort of adversity. Like, we're that first game to come and play us, basically, whether it be the David Ayer situation or someone playing their first game and they score their overtime winning goal, or we get a goal lead in this situation. I mean, nothing to take away from Vancouver Canucks. Like, they went through a brutal time with the COVID situation there, and we wouldn't wish anything bad from that on them. But I don't know. I actually thought a couple of weeks ago when Buffalo won their, finally got out of that awful streak, whatever it was, 15, 16 games of losing, I actually thought that they were probably thinking to themselves, geez, I wish we could play the Leafs, right? Like, it just seems like we're the team, we're in those situations that we end up losing basically that game and giving the other team that benefit. And other than the fact, this morning I looked at the NHL like website and I looked at the standings and I'm like, okay, we're still in first place in the division, and we both have like 11 with the Jets. We have 11 games each to play, so we're good that way. And we have two players in the NHL's top 10 in points in the league, which obviously are Matthews and Marner. So other than that, make me feel better. I'm asking Syl to make me feel better about this situation from I don't know. It just seems to be very up and down right now with this team again. And we're going to the stretch drive, going to the playoffs. And yeah, and then obviously there's the Hyman injury, possible injury too. So I don't know. I don't know how I'm feeling right now, but make me feel better.
Okay, well, that might be a little bit of a tough one, considering we were trying to think of, you know, what good can we draw from in the last little while? And other than, you know, what was done at the trade deadline, it's a little bit tough if you're just basically going on, you know, what we're seeing on the ice right now. Like, obviously, there's some good things. I guess what I would say is that, you know, you don't want to peak too early. So, and I do agree that it seems to me that, you know, when it comes to us playing teams that are going, you know, through some sort of adversity, you know, the truth of the matter is that because they're playing the Leafs, they're talked about a lot. So whether, you know, players always say that they don't really pay attention to the news or follow the media or whatever, I do think they do hear these things. And, you know, unfortunately, when you're playing the Leafs, you're on the big stage. And of course, you know, they postponed, you know, Hockey Night in Canada broadcast and broadcasted on Sunday. So then it's a national broadcast already. These players had something to prove. They obviously are proud guys, and they dug deep and they dug out a win for themselves. And, you know, everybody was watching them carefully, looking for any signs that they're struggling. You know what I mean? So, they might be struggling today, but that will be behind closed doors. And so unfortunately, when it's against us, it's on the big stage. And the thing is that we didn't have that same dig down deep reason, you know, so, and that showed last night. You know, we had nothing to dig deep for. but the thing is, they do need to find that gear because, it's not something you can just switch on and off on a whim.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost the same as, not quite, but it's almost the same going to previous seasons again, sort of thing, where we basically play so great at the start of the season and then we're tailing off again towards the end of the season, and our mindset is just not good going into the playoffs. And that's why we thought we brought in like Joe Thornton, Wayne Simmons and them, but I don't know. I'm overreacting, I think, just because maybe this whole Zach Hyman injury possibility is making me panic. So, anyhow.
Well, we're going to talk about that. So,
yeah.
Obviously, as you said, it's been another up and down couple of weeks for the Leafs. And now that the trade deadline is passed, we're anxiously waiting to see what Sheldon Keefe's plans are for the lineup as we go into the stretch drive with 11 games to go, which is not a lot. So, let's get the show going. And we're going to, as we said, talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're going to run the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel, and we'll end off with our new segment, the third period, that we introduced in our last episode before the bonus. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
Okay, the good, the bad, the ugly. God, I had a lot of trouble finding something good. I don't know. Took me a couple of days. Anyways, and then I found out two good things. William Nylander was coming back into the lineup, and Freddie Anderson was on the ice last week. Finally, there was a Freddie sighting. So with Willie, I just think he was placed on the NHL's COVID protocol list. And that in itself is scary for him. He sounded really worried, let's say, in his interviews. He was saying but all his tests came back negative while he was in that 7-day quarantine, which is great. But you really, to me, he makes a difference in the lineup. I mean, it's not Austin Matthews way missing, but just his creativity and the way he possesses the puck and the confidence he has with the puck, like it's just, you can tell when he's not in the lineup. And so we definitely noticed him when he wasn't available. So the fact that he was available last night, it was great to see him back. And he scored his 100th career goal too. So that was a positive from last night. And then with Freddie back on the ice, I think listeners know how I feel about the goaltending situation, so I won't get too much into it. And I think Sill is pretty much agreeing with me, but maybe not as much over the top as me. But but yeah, I love Freddie. I'm a Freddie fan, and I can't wait for him to get back. I don't know. I just think he's going to be a huge thing for us going into the playoffs, at least a part of a goaltending tandem, as long as he's healthy.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I agree on both of those counts. Willie, like you could notice, I shouldn't say see, because it was, you know, when as they're playing, it's like the impact he has, though, it was definitely apparent, because we're missing those breakouts. We're missing those entries, those creative entries that actually spark something. And we were just so flat when he wasn't in the lineup because of that, because he's a very, very dynamic player. And that is something that sparks something, not just the plays, but also energy, you know? So I definitely agree that he is a player that we miss when he's not there. It's so funny because people get on him for not doing more, but when he's not in the lineup, it's like a real black hole there as far as creativity and basically creating some sort of cycling opportunity in the offensive zone when he's not there. And yeah, I agree with you about Freddie, that definitely we need all of our goaltending to be sharp going into the playoffs, which is actually leading nicely into my good, which is the goaltending depth. That now that we had have David Rittich, which I didn't know that. I think he's a European player. I thought he was from here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's so, Czech. He's
yeah.
A Czech
so
player.
I,
yeah.
I've changed the way I pronounce pretty his sure. name now because of that. Anyway, but the fact that I think he looked good in the games that he played with us. He is great on high danger chances. I think he's definitely gives us more confidence knowing that if something were to happen to one of our other top guys, that we have a bona fide player that can rise to the occasion. Like that's what I see, is that he's the type of goalie that I think can rise to the occasion if needed. So the fact that we've shored up our depth there makes me feel a little bit better going into this home stretch or down the home stretch leading into the playoffs, because it gives us a little bit more of a capacity to let Campbell rest if he needs to and give Freddie some time to ease back into the lineup without having to rely on him too much and possibly cause a setback, right? So
yeah, I hope I mean, Rittich, I think I would think he'd play the next game versus Vancouver. I'm hoping anyways that, because Jack Campbell last night in the first game, like there were a couple of goals there he should have had them. Mm-hmm. Right? And I mean, not that he, like, I mean, the guy just set an NHL record. So, I mean, you can't say, like, all of a sudden all the fans, like, are, not say they're going against him again, but it's mm-hmm. like the whole up and down thing with Leafs Nation.
Yeah.
Because he's winning 10 in a row, he's great. And then he loses a couple and then all of a sudden he's garbage sort of thing, right? It doesn't work that way, right? He's good, but I think he's battling something too, which I think having the few extra days in between, and then he can start in Winnipeg. That's going to be a huge game on mm-hmm. Thursday night in Winnipeg. So and then Freddie will hopefully come back before the end of the season mm-hmm. and get a couple of games in and be good to go for the playoffs too. So yeah, the goaltending depth I think is definitely a good thing to have, and we've never really had this situation to do with the goal to be going into the playoffs like this. It's always been like a dependable number one guy, right? And so it's kind of new, but hopefully we'll get through it, because goaltending definitely matters.
It does, right? But I would say though that our team is good enough, should be good enough, that we don't need elite stand on your head goaltending. We need steady goaltending. If we've got steady goaltending, our team should be able to basically run with that. But as we're going to get into down the road, some things are going to have to improve, because that offense that you know we're known for is just not clicking right now, aside from the odd person here and there. So so basically we're an excellent team that should get by with basically just really steady goaltending, above average, but doesn't have to be elite. Like unless our goalie really needs to only be counted on to steal a game here or there. Like they don't have to steal every game.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be nice to, mind you, it's been a while since we've seen
a goaltender steal a game. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, the game. So it would be nice to see what.
I would love to see it.
Maybe they're saving it for the playoffs, right? So maybe that's the thing, which would be good. Yes. Yeah. But all right.
So let's get on to what we think is not going so hot. So the bad.
That's
what you got
not.
For that, Chris.
All right. So my first one, or the bad that I had, was Austin Matthews. And not to say that he's playing bad, but I'm just worried about that wrist. I don't know. I am like, it's fine to take a day, like a game off here and there towards the end of the season. The whole load management idea, we talked about that the last episode too. Like, but of course he's also going after that, even though he won't say it, but he's going after that Rocket Richard trophy too, right? For the most goals in the league. So we want him to get that too, but, and he's 6 goals ahead in that category. I checked that this morning as of Monday. So, I mean, he can take some time off if he needs it, but I'm just worried that in the playoffs, like, there's going to be 1-2-hand chop to that wrist and and he's done, right? And we cannot, like, we need to, I mean, I think we appreciate him and everything he does. He's a superstar, and it's, and like, there's a whole lot we can say about him, but I just want them to be careful with him. That's all. And because as we saw with Zach Hyman, who's another very important player, we don't know what his status is right now, but we don't want that happening to Austin Matthews. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely agree. I mean, I don't really know if there's much more that I can add to that, but yeah, they do need to be careful with him. And I mean, it's tough because they've basically said that it's the wrist, so everybody knows that, but we don't really know what's wrong with it. Like, we don't know, is it like just an overuse injury type of thing, like a tendonitis sort of situation? Is it yeah, a sprain? Is it like a ligament or tendon damage? Like, is it something that's going to require surgery? Like, we have no idea. And I think that's what also, you know, brings on that kind of leaf anxiety, because they're, you know, that we know something, but we don't know much. Right. So, yes. No, we want them to take good care of Austin. So,
and he's absolutely critical. He's critical to 100%. Our team. Like, it's,
yeah. So for my bad, I know we talked about it a little while ago where, you know, we thought that other than Freddie, there might be a new whipping boy coming on the scene. And what I'm surprised about is that really hasn't really emerged. Considering how we tend to ride certain defensemen out of town on a rail, Morgan Rielly, I think, is getting a little bit of a pass. And I'm not really sure why, because, you know, at the beginning of the season, you know, we thought, okay, Brody's coming in and, you know, the Barry Rielly experiment did not materialize. And all of the blame for that really went on Tyson Barry. And we thought for that Brody's coming in and he made a Norris Trophy candidate out of Giordano. And for sure, this combination with Rielly is going to be great. And he's just going to make Rielly just elevate his game again, like we've seen in the past. And he's not playing that great lately. And with our power play going the way it is, I am really surprised that they are sticking to him on the and the first power play option, when I don't know why you wouldn't be putting Brody on there instead. Like, honestly, like at this point, I know that they want Rielly's creativity, but I don't know. Like, to me, it's not necessarily working. So, and he's making some, like, I don't know. We talked about his giveaways before, and I know that a lot is expected of him, but some of his decision making out there lately has not been great. So I'm a little disappointed in the year he's put together for himself this year, when he had the opportunity to really, really do something great this year.
Well, yeah, because like, 2 seasons ago, I guess it was like he had that Norris Trophy type of season. Mm-hmm. So
that was playing with Jake Gardner.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Maybe we needed to give Jake more credit. I don't know.
I've been thinking about it, I guess, since you put it as your choice for the bad, and I'm thinking like, the way they've handled the situation with Rasmus Sandin, because really Rielly is our only offensive defense, like a creative defenseman, let's just say, right? On the offense, yes, he's definitely has his defensive woes, which are coming out a little bit now lately, in the last little while. But I just think that because he's going, Riley next year is going into his contract year two, which that's the part that everyone's going to start talking about eventually, what the plans are for him. And but the way they're handling Rasmus Sandin, technically, I was thinking to myself, really, he's supposed to probably be the replacement for Riley, right? Being that offensive number one, they're hoping to be a 1A defenseman, but they're not really. I mean, Sandin got injured with the Marlies during their season this year. He's now back. He's with our taxi squad, I think, right now. But I don't know. I just think that maybe the organization might have screwed up here a little bit because they need to get Rasmus Sandin in some NHL games, I think, if they are thinking of moving on from Morgan Riley next year, like depending. I don't know. I mean, I'm taking a different angle here, but
I agree with that, but at the same time, though, this is like a really, really hard year to do that in. It's just, I'm not sure if the way this the year is set up, if it really lent itself towards that, because it's not easy to be bringing people up and down and all that. I don't know. It's not, well, it's not as seamless
other
as
than
before.
Morgan Riley, though. We don't, I don't know. I don't consider, like, Muzzin has not. They put Muzzin a little bit on the power play. I don't find that going too well. He's not that. I mean, the only guy, I guess, that maybe would have been Dermott.
Yeah.
Right? To say that if they wanted to move up, him up in the pairings. Because last night, I don't know, I thought it was weird last night in this Vancouver game how they did mix up the pairings. Mm-hmm. Right? They put Riley with Hall. Mm-hmm. And they put Brody with Muzzin, and they just kept Dermott and Bogosian together. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of odd that they thought of this now with like 11 games left in the season
You've been trying it earlier. It's like, are you now seeing that things are not working? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not saying that I think Morgan Riley is bad. I think we all know he's a very good defenseman. He's just playing badly right now, or at least not to the level that we would expect. So anyway, I don't know if toying with all of it is going to make a difference, but let's just hope that he can find his game when we're coming in towards the playoff push. So so let's move on to our ugly, which sadly we're back to having a little bit more to discuss there. So, Chris, what did you want to talk about with regards to ugliness with our Leafs at the moment?
Yeah, so the ugly, I mean, we covered it as bad in our last episode before our bonus show, but it's the power play. I don't know. I don't know what to do with this. It's just unbelievable. I mean, they couldn't score on that 5-on-3 versus Winnipeg last week. I mean, we talked about it in that last episode, how we were thinking like there has to be a different type of entry that they can do to get into the ozone. I don't know. I actually, it was funny because I was reading in, an article from the hockeywriters.com. I included it in our show notes on our Budsport website. If, the listeners want to have a look. They had an idea actually that no one's actually come up with, but I thought to myself, maybe is to change the power play coach. Maybe Sheldon Keefe needs to like kind of put it out there to say Manny Malhotra, not to say it's Manny Malhotra's fault, but maybe that'll kickstart something, like switch it up, put Manny Malhotra in charge of the PK, put Dave Hextall in charge of the, or even they mentioned Paul McLean. Right?
True.
He's up in the, right? Like he's up in the sky.
And what is he contributing?
Yeah, exactly. We haven't heard him at all.
No.
Right? So maybe that will be like something drastic. Oh my God. And maybe it'll get them out of this funk. I don't know. I thought that was actually something creative that might work.
To me, I think part of the problem is they're so married to the system and the structure that they are all in their heads when they're doing this. You know, what worked last night when Austin Matthews broke out of the zone and skated down the ice and threw it in the net. You know, that's what, that's the kind of breakout they need, not this circle back, give the other team time to figure out what you're doing. It's more, I think they need to be more like what they do in like on in 3-on-3 overtime, you know, like they, I mean, they do a little bit of the circling back there too, but then when they get a chance to break out, they just run with it and they skate down the ice and create something quickly, you know, like in a give and go situation. That's what they need. They need the element of surprise, because right now there's no element of surprise. Like the teams 100% know exactly what they're going to do. So,
they know they're lacking confidence too, sort of thing. Right. Yeah. So it's that they're tentative but it's got to change going into the playoffs. Like before the playoffs start, they got to get this fixed. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Sheldon Keefe seems really perplexed about it as well. Like, mm-hmm. because he said that a while back that it is in their heads. So if you know mm-hmm. that, then I don't know, you gotta figure out something, because it's special teams are huge in the playoffs. Like, well, it's just,
it's not like they don't have like 100 different, you know, psychologists and stuff on the
exactly.
payroll. Like, so yeah. exactly yeah. what are these people that they're all paying tons of dollars to doing in this regard? Like, I don't know. I think that they need to completely go away from working on the structure and work on the play part. You know, I think maybe they need to just have a fun creative session where they get to try all kinds of different weird things that never would be normally quote unquote allowed in a regular game. But maybe they need to do something like that to get the juices flowing. I don't know. But what they're doing right now is just, it's just too predictable, like we've said. So yeah. Anyway.
And what made it even worse on top of the cherry on top was listening to Jim Houston the whole night.
Totally.
We won't get into that.
We haven't had to listen to him much, but that's going to change come playoff time likely. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. All right.
So my ugly, right. you've touched on it several times because I know that it's eating at you, was the Zach Hyman hit and potential injury. Man, I felt like I could throw up when I saw that. Like, I just was like, wow, that is just the worst thing to happen to the worst person. Like, it's not the worst person, like he's the best person, but that's the point, is that he is so key that I just really, really, really hope that he's going to be okay. And I understand that Edler is going to have a hearing also for that hit, because it was ugly. And I know that, some of the analysts, I think BX was saying that sometimes in a game, like, you're never trying to take a person's knee out like that. And sometimes there's incidental contact, but just like anything else, you are responsible for being in control of your stick, and you're supposed to be in control of your limbs. So,
yeah. I mean, he knew, to me, like, BX's comments are BS basically, but he's like the guy, he knew, Edler knew that Hyman was going to be going hurt. By him.
Oh yeah,
and no, and low, no, like, way flying you by him.
Your leg out like that.
Yes, exactly. You don't need to do that.
They're
so,
called hip checks for a reason.
Yeah, and and with regards to the league reviewing it, I mean, we tweeted last night that basically, regardless of whether or not he gets suspended, that will
doesn't
not
help us at all.
No, that will not make any difference if we end up losing Zach Hyman, God forbid, for the season, because that knee is the same knee that he injured two seasons ago. And so a lot of people are saying, well, he played on the torn ACL for 3 games in that playoff series versus Boston. But
but that was like towards that right before our exit. So what does that say?
Exactly.
Anyway, so, I just think that it's so unfortunate. And this is part of the ugliness for me, is that he's having such an incredible season. He was basically this shining light, you know, that is just a joy to watch every game. And it's going to take something away from our team, and also something away from our viewing enjoyment, because we love watching him. So no matter how much he's out, it's a loss for sure. And Zach, we are sending you our best thoughts for you to get better quickly. Hopefully it's nothing and it just looked worse than it is. That's what I'm hoping for.
Well, according to JT, he said that he was, John Tavares said last night in the dressing room that Zach Hyman was saying he felt good. He was optimistic, but then again, like they said, that's coming from a person that played on the torn with the torn ACL. So he's always optimistic, right? But hopefully he is going to be good, good to go. Maybe miss if he misses a couple of games, but, let's move on to some positivity now. And we're gonna roll the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel. Woo! All right. And speaking of John Tavares, that's who we have as number three on our Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel. It's the captain is heating up at the right time. I find it funny though because when he does heat up, it seems like the team is going through having its issues. But and then people don't notice him as being. He's not flashy. Basically, he does everything. Yeah. We've mentioned this before. He does everything, all the little things right. 12 points in 8 games.
Crazy. That's actually really crazy.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yes. So, yeah. So he's getting the job done definitely and more.
Oh, 100%. He is definitely deserving of our number three spot. And in the number two spot, this is a regular member of our highlight reel, Austin Matthews, with the hat trick versus Ottawa on April 10th. 6 straight seasons now that he's scored 30 plus goals. Also, the first 2 goals of that hat trick were number 99 and number 100 that he has scored at Scotiabank Arena, and he was named the second star of the week. So he is just every week basically adding credentials and statistics and who knows where he is going to end up. But he seems to have got his goal prowess back on track and looks like his wrist for now is feeling all right. So anyway, what do you have to add to that?
Like I said earlier, like we really, all of Leafs Nation, I think really appreciates what he brings to our team. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he could possibly be in line for 4 trophies. He could be in line for the Hart, Beatty Bing, the Selke, and the Rocket Richard. Mm-hmm. Right now he's leading. Mikko Rantanen is behind him, I guess, by 6 goals. Matthews has 33 goals. Mikko Rantanen of the Avs has 26. So, I mean, when a guy could possibly be in line for 4 trophies, that's all you have to say, basically.
Well, I mean, that has never happened in Leafs history. So in over 100 years, this is the best. This guy... Like, we're watching history right now.
Yes.
This is what, like, 100 years from now, this guy is who everyone's going to be talking about.
Could
be the best Leaf ever.
Yeah. Maybe not Jim Houston, but I don't know.
Probably not.
I gave Jim Houston too many takes here. Too many takes in here. So let's go on to number one on the highlight reel. Number one is Jack Campbell. We have to give love to Jack Campbell because he did set the NHL record as a goalie with a victory in each of his first 11 appearances in a season last week. So that is an amazing accomplishment. Even though, I mean, he did have games off in between, sort of, but he still did it. And he just needs to... I think it's the mental part of the game a little bit that he still needs to get a hold of before he can truly say, like, if he wants to be a number one goalie. But kudos to Jack. He did that, and it was great. I love the way Marner, I still look at that little video where he counts down the number of games. Yeah. That was so cool, right? Like, and setting the Leaf record as well.
Marner and his goalie love.
Yeah.
He's their biggest supporter, no matter who's in net. So,
yeah.
So yeah, that's excellent. Yeah. So Jack Campbell, 100% deserving of the number one spot, because that is, it's something that obviously it's never happened. So it's a huge, 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 deal. And we are so happy for him and excited. And yeah, I agree. As long as he can sort of get his head straight, I think he's got this little bit of a martyr complex where, you know, he really takes that role as the last person standing kind of thing. He puts too much on himself, which I think, you know, everyone's been talking about that. But as much as he deflects, you know, it's not me, it's my teammates when he wins, it's the opposite when they lose. It's like if they lose, it's all him and it's not his teammates. So I know he's had issues with that in the past, but he really kind of needs to just, you know, it's a team game regardless. And if he can wrap his head around that and not put too much pressure on himself, then I think, you know, he's going to be great. But maybe he is more suited to be, you know, like a tandem goalie and not like your number one go-to guy for this reason. Because when you got to put him in, you know that you're going to get everything he's got. And that's all you can really ask for from a backup, right? Yeah. And he's proving he can do that. So,
yeah, for sure. And when it comes to a team game, let's go into our next segment here, into the third period for the team game, because what we want to discuss here is definitely about the team itself and how we're gonna be basically fixing our bottom six forwards, or basically talking about how we have the lack of production from these bottom six forwards and what Keith will do in terms of the line combinations for these bottom six, and taking into consideration the new additions, obviously, with Nick Foligno coming in, Riley Nash, hopefully will come back from injury for the playoffs, and then Ben Hutton on defense as our defensive depth. But I don't know, the current, the bottom six that we're talking about here are Joe Thornton, who has 0 points, in the last five games. Pierre Engvall also has 0 points the last five games. Wayne Simmonds has 1 point the last five games, as does Alex Kerfoot and Jason Spezza. They both have 1 point. And then Ilya Mikheyev has 1 point. He did have, I'll give props to Superman a little bit, because in that sixth game, he actually had 2 points. So he would have had 3 points. But anyways, it's a total of, right now, for the last five games, those six players have a total of 4 points. Like, that's just not enough.
No, we're definitely lacking in the secondary scoring, which is why, you know, we're talking about what a bad situation it is that Hyman is potentially out. And it's so scary if Austin Matthews would get injured. I mean, when all of your scoring comes from those two top lines, that's just not enough. Like, they're basically, the whole modus operandi was to build depth throughout the lines, right? Yeah. So that we can basically have depth everywhere. And right now that the scoring is sort of dried up for those bottom six.
Yeah. I'm actually kind of a little bit, I guess, I don't know what the word is, but I'm with Wayne Simmonds. I'm just kind of like, since he's come back from the injury, like, I think he's had one or two games that have been good, but he just doesn't seem like himself, sort of thing, right? And kind of disappointed a little bit, right? Like, with the Wayne train, and I'm just hoping that he can ramp it up these final 10 games. I don't know if load management is needed. I think load management is definitely needed for Joe Thornton, as much as he probably doesn't think so, but I think definitely that has to be done. And with the lines, I just want to get your thoughts on this too. With these new players coming in, I'm thinking for the bottom six to start the playoffs, or even the last game, depending on Riley Nash as to when he comes back into the lineup. But the lines, I was thinking to have the third line as, and again, assuming Hyman plays with Matthews and Marner, okay, and that he's good, I'm going to put the lines, the third line is Kerfoot between Spezza and Mikheyev. And then I'm going to put Riley Nash centering Wayne Simmonds. And then it's a toss-up between Galchenyuk and Thornton on the other side. That's how I have those bottom six. And Thornton and Galchenyuk are kind of interchangeable, let's just say, during the playoffs especially. Yeah, and again, assuming Hyman is okay. I just like Hyman up there with Matthews and Marner. If Hyman ends up being out for a longer period, knock on wood, he won't be. But I think, I don't know, I think Galchenyuk is doing a decent job up there. Yeah, but what do you think of that to keep Kerfoot there at center? I know he goes, that's the other one I was debating a little bit, but I think he's, I just think that with having Kerfoot and Spezza, like Spezza can take the draw sometimes too, right? And he's been out of the three veterans with experience, like Simmonds, Thornton and Spezza. I think Spezza has been the best one.
Oh, really. For sure. But it's, to me, considering why we got a guy like Wayne Simmonds and Joe Thornton, they do have to find a way to get them more involved, because I just see that Thornton now, you know, at the beginning, he was very vocal and he, you know, they talked to him a lot. I just feel like he's just a guy out there now. Mm-hmm. And for us to get what we need out of him, he can't be just a guy. Do you know what I mean? And same yeah. with Simmonds. They are kind of falling into the background a little bit. And I do yeah. think that the coaching staff, you know, whether it's how they play them, what situations they put them in, they have to find a way to get them more involved in the game, because
yeah.
otherwise we're not going to get out of them what we need to get out of them come playoff time, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's definitely true. That's why I did think too, it's kind of funny because they're all interchangeable, but you like mm-hmm. to have set lines or I think too, right?
Right.
Like to say at least a little bit anyways, especially on your third line. Anyways, the top three lines, they should be set. I mean, we're putting Foligno, I'm putting in with Tavares and Nylander for that. But yeah, I just hope that, and Engvall would be the odd person out, in my opinion. I don't know. He was out last night. I don't know. Maybe that'll help give him a jump start.
He seems to do better once, like when he's taken out of the lineup, when they put him back in, like that
yeah.
kind of is like the little bit of a
push
kick that he needs
yeah.
to perform, because he knows that he's, you know, potentially always going to be the odd man out. But
he's a big guy. He skates
oh, yeah.
very well. Like, he's awesome. He has a long reach with a long stick. Like, and yeah, he has a little bit of flash in him when he does show it. But then,
no, again, with him, it's a consistency issue.
Yeah,
it's always
yeah.
consistency. It's coming down to, you need to be able to expect the same from him every night. And it's not like they don't have role models on our team that show that, that demonstrate that. So, you know, that's kind of what you need to be
yeah.
able
yeah,
to no, deliver for sure. every night, right?
Yeah. So, well, looking forward to these next couple of weeks. I guess the games looking forward to, what are we looking forward to for the games?
Well, before we get there, I actually yeah. did want to give a little bit of a shout out to Patrick Marleau. Because speaking
yeah.
of role models and people who have had an impact on some of our players and still do, he's going to be playing in his NHL record leading 1768th game tonight, and we want to just congratulate him for that milestone, because obviously we know that that milestone has meant so, so much to him. Yep. And so he has the record now.
Ruin it. No. Ruin it for him.
Oh, yeah. And he's, you know, still in some way a part of our team, even though he doesn't play for us anymore, because we know that he had a huge impact on Mitch and Austin and their development. And it still means a lot to them to this very day. So congratulations, Patrick Marleau.
Yes, congrats, Patty Marleau. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, it's huge. Passing Gordie Howe's a legend, like Mr. Hockey, and he's going to pass him tonight. So that's that's great. And yeah, Mitch and Austin, they both had on their Instagram stories, they both had the other night when he tied the record, they both had it on there. And yeah, they definitely have a special friendship. But yeah, so moving on to the next couple of weeks and the games that we have circled on our calendar are basically Winnipeg and Montreal. Mm-hmm. That's the most important ones that we gotta, like, we gotta show up with our best games there. We gotta fix this power play on those in those games. Hopefully Hyman is gonna be okay. maybe, I don't know if he'll be playing in the Jets games. I have no idea, but hopefully for the game versus the Habs that that he'll be playing. Nothing else really matters because it's about first place in this.
Yeah,
like when it comes to playing the Jets and with Montreal, it's just the fact that if we're going to be playing them in the first round, we basically just, that's the thing they're saying, like, we need to have that to show some of that killer instinct.
Yeah, like, no, and that's what we don't like,
right?
This
and we're still not showing
it. Was tantamount to that, like, yeah. Really, they were just there. We could have just taken them. That's what we should have done. And we should have pushed them so that they had to work even harder. Like, that's the thing. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Although last night, I would say that if I was a player, it could be that there's hesitancy there too on your side, knowing that you're coming in playing a team that's just getting over this and hoping that they are over it. Because can you imagine if one of those guys was still contagious and one of our players gets it and it goes through our whole room? Like,
exactly.
That's going to kill our season.
And it's, I mean, the NHLPA is a brotherhood too, right? Like, they care for each other. And
for sure.
And they all want each other to have good health, obviously. And they love the game too, but health is most important, obviously. So in the next couple of weeks, Keith is going to need to figure out the lines, obviously, getting these new players in, finding the chemistry with Foligno and maybe giving some rest to a few players, hopefully. They need to figure out these special teams for the stretch drive to the end of the season. And hopefully just to fine-tune things in some of the games, too. But if you have any thoughts on what we've talked about in this show, please DM us on social media or email us at ladiestalkingleafs@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Our social media handle is at LTL1917.
And you can find us on all the socials, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Another way to connect with us is at Ko-fi.com. That's Ko-fi.com. You can always follow us there and check out our new video intro where you can find out a little bit more about how our podcast came to be. If you choose to, you can also support our show there by buying us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. So find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes and in any of our social media profile pages. As always, we want to shout out to our healthcare workers and essential workers for everything that they do. Stay safe and well, everybody, and
go Leafs, go!